Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Corinthians chapter number 3, let's pick up reading in verse number 10. I'm going to let you remain seated. The Bible said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10. Back up to verse number 9. The Bible said this: "For we labor, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." Now, I like what he said in verse number 9. I'm not going to bog down here, but he says, "For we are laborers together with God." And if you're laboring for God, you're laboring together with someone. Because if we're not in unity, then it's not of the Lord. Amen. And I'm glad that we can do it together. It goes on to say in verse number 10, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Lord, help us tonight. God, help us to get a clear understanding of your word, Father. I pray that you challenge our hearts and our minds, God, to do more for you, knowing, God, that there is a great judgment day coming when we're going to stand before you. God, if there's ever been a time that, Lord, we should wholeheartedly serve you, it is this day that we're living in. So, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us through this study, Father, to be found faithful when you come to call us home. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I made a reference to this last week, but I'm going to mention it again in passing. Verse number 15, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Man, that's one of the greatest verses in our New Testament on eternal security tonight. He said, "He himself shall be saved by fire." And I'm glad that I'm saved and I know it, and there's nothing you or the devil or anybody else can do about it. Amen. And we see that in that verse. But we began looking at the judgment seat of Christ. Here's what we looked at last week, in case you was here. We looked at who will appear before the judgment seat. This will be for the saved. It's not for the unsaved. It's for the saved. Then we looked at this. What is the fire that will be displayed at the judgment seat? And I believe that that fire refers to the Scripture, but that fire also refers to the Savior, refers to Christ tonight. And we looked at verses that dealt with that. Then we dealt with what is the purpose of the judgment seat. The judgment seat does not pertain to the salvation of man, but it does pertain to the service of man. And that is what this judgment is talking about here. The judgment seat of Christ is not for punishment, but for rewards or for loss of rewards. And we're going to talk more about that as we get into it tonight. But this great judgment seat. I was preaching last night out of 2 Samuel chapter number 5 on David. And at the conclusion of the message, I began talking about the coming of the Lord. Lord. And I really believe, and I'll explain this more in just a minute, but I really believe that we are living in the closing of Revelation chapter number 3, and chapter 4 is fixing to take place. And you said, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, chapter number 3 closes out one way, and chapter number 4 starts this way. The church leaves. The rapture takes place. Amen. We're not going through any part of the tribulation. If you go through 3.5 years, you're going to go through 7 years and die and go to hell. Yeah, man, we're not. Hey, the church is not mentioned after chapter number 4 for, I don't have time to go into all of it, but the Lord's fixing to come back is what I'm saying to you tonight. I believe that His coming is as close, there's no doubt, it's as close as it's ever been before. And I believe that we're living in the last seconds of the last minutes of the last hours of the last days. I believe that's how close we are. If we've ever done anything for God, we better do it right now. If we've ever been faithful before, we better be faithful right now. If we've ever given Him all, we better give Him all right now. It is in the closing moments before the Lord comes back. And you know what? We don't know when death is going to come. Amen. We don't know when we're going to face death. So really, we don't know when our last day will be to serve the Lord. When our last day will be to serve the Lord. Now let's look at some more things about the judgment seat tonight. Number one, watch this. What will be judged? What's going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ? Well, note what your Bible said in verse number 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. That's what's going to be judged, is this right here. Is it going to be wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones? This verse describes two kinds of Christians' lives, and each will receive a reward, or it will be burned up. Now think about this. First thing is this: gold, silver, and precious stones. This refers to that which is eternal, to that which has eternal value. For example, that eternal city, the New Jerusalem, is made of what? Pure gold. And the building, here's what the Bible said in Revelation 21:18, and the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. It also refers to that which is associated with God. For example, the ark and the mercy seat in the tabernacle, which signified deity, was made of gold. You can read that in Exodus 25. This refers to our Christian walk with God. In other words, what we are doing that has an eternal value to it. There's a lot of things that we do, and I'm going to say more about it in just a second, that has absolutely zero eternal value to it. Has no eternal value to it at all. And you say, well, preacher, what is some of those things? Well, probably about 98% of what we did today. Are you with me? How much money I make in this life has zero eternal value to it. Are you hearing me tonight? The kind of car that I drove in this life has zero eternal value to it. The kind of home that I lived in had zero eternal value to it. Now, there's nothing wrong with a nice vehicle. There's nothing wrong with a nice home. But if you have that and it takes you away from the house of God to be able to pay for that, then you got your priorities wrong. Our eternal values that He's dealing with, what will be judged. You say, well, what is some of our eternal values? What is some things that we do that has an eternal value? Well, if you're a Sunday school teacher teaching your Sunday school class, if you're an Awana worker working in your Awana class, if you work in youth church, working in youth church, watch this. Hey, my name's Jonathan Barker. This is Robert Potts. We're out from Amazing Grace Baptist Church. I want to give you an invitation to come go to the house of God with us this coming up Sunday. Knocking on doors is eternal value. Every time that I give to world missions, it's an eternal value tonight. What's going to be judged? Well, our eternal values, gold, silver, and precious stone. But then he deals with this. He deals with wood, hay, and stubble. This refers to that which is associated with man and this world, things that do not last or have no value before God, have absolutely zero value before God. Think about this. Things made of wood can be large and impressive. Are you with me? Matter of fact, most of the homes that you drove by tonight, if not all of them, at the base of that is a wood frame construction. You know, a matter of fact, in this building tonight, it may be metal on the outside, but it's wood framed on the inside. You know what? Wood can build a lot of things that's very large and impressive. Are you with me tonight? Matter of fact, you know what? I've seen some large and impressive things built by hay before. I have. Have you ever seen different things? They'll take hay bales and build things out of it, and you can build some large and impressive things out of that. But watch this. When that large and impressive thing built by wood or hay is tried by fire, guess what happens? Woof. It's gone, man. Just that fast. It is gone. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying today. There's a lot of so-called, quote-unquote, Christian ministries that is large and impressive in these world's eyes, in the world's eyes. But all it is nothing more than a business that I'm... I got sick on my stomach today looking at one of them, just to be honest with you. I shouldn't have even looked it up, but I did. You say, why? Because I was being nosy. And I looked it up, and I'm going to tell you something. It's nothing more than a money maker. It's nothing more than a business. And they're shadowing it underneath a ministry name. And I'm going to tell you something. When it comes down to the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to burn up one day. All of that mess is going to burn up one day. It's going to burn up one day. We could say it this way. We'll be judged off of our motives and off of our methods. Motives, why did I do what I did? Was it for myself and for self-promotion, or was it for the Savior? Are you with me tonight? Why do we do what we do? Why? You know, I thought about this last night. And I don't know about anybody else, but every once in a while the devil crawls up on my back. I don't know about anybody else. He probably does you, but last night I traveled to Weaverville on the other side of Asheville, close to 3 hours away, and I traveled by myself last night, and I got done preaching. Well, I got done preaching, man. It was an outside meeting, and I was soaking wet. I'm talking about from head to toe. I was soaking wet. I changed clothes, and I got in the truck and had a bottle of water in the truck and about 2 bites of a Hershey bar left in there, thank God. And it was just, I'd parked in the shade, and it was just at that perfect temperature, just right before melting. Y'all with me right there? And you put it in your mouth, man, and it just melted in your mouth. Man, it was good. I let all the chocolate melt in my mouth, and then I chewed the almonds up. Boy, I'm telling you, it was great. Now, I started up the road, and I no more than got out on 26, and you know what? There was fireworks went off, Brother Blake, and I thought in the back of my mind, here's what the devil said. You know what? You could be at home with your family right now watching fireworks with your family. That's what the devil's saying. You know what? I said, you're right, old boy. And I drove a little bit further, and I seen another one. And I seen another one. And here's what I told him. I said, I could have been at home with them, but the Lord let me come up here and preach tonight. And now on my way home, I'm seeing more than I've ever saw in my life. Are we doing it for self-promotion, or are we doing it to promote the Savior? To promote the Savior. I talked to a preacher one time, and he said, you know what preachers do sometimes? They talk about preachers. And he said that he called this preacher and was going to have him come preach for him. And here's what he said. He said, you got to pick me up at the airport. Here's what my meals have got to be. Here's the motel I've got to stay in. Here's the dry cleaning that will have to be done. And here's how much I'll have to even show up. Can I tell you something? And that's going to burn up like wood, hay, and stubble. I remember one time Leslie and I drove to Macon, Georgia. If you don't know where Macon, Georgia's at, it's a long ways from East Bend, North Carolina. We drove to Macon, Georgia. I taught Sunday school Sunday morning. I preached Sunday morning. I preached Sunday night. I paid for my motel Saturday night and my motel Sunday night. They give me a $50 check and it bounced. I said, hallelujah. You said, preacher, what are you saying? We don't do it for a paycheck. We don't do it for a paycheck. If you serve God, if you teach Sunday school, if you teach the nursery just for somebody to see, oh, you may build something big in others' eyes. But I'm going to tell you something, at the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to burn up. Motives, why do I do what I do? Is it for self-promotion or to promote the Savior? Our methods to do. You know what? You can do the right thing the wrong way. You can do the right thing the wrong way. It's the right thing to go to church, but when it's done the wrong way, in other words, just for self-promotion to pad a pocketbook, I'm telling you something, I'm wood, hay, and stubble. So number one tonight, what will be judged? Well, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Number two tonight, what is the reward? What is that when we stand before Him, what is the reward? The New Testament deals with five different crowns that can potentially be won at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, contrary to the song that said this, I'll put on a crown and walk around all over God's promised land, that is not what we're going to do with that crown. That is not what we're going to do. Matter of fact, Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 12 says this, His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were, watch this, many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but Himself. The Bible said that on His head was many crowns. Where did Jesus get many crowns? Here's where He got them from, at the judgment seat of Christ. If we've won one of these crowns, here's exactly what we'll do. We'll cast that back at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll give that back. You say, preacher, why do you want a crown? Here's the reason I want to win a crown. After everything He's done for me and how faithful He's been to me, then who am I to back up and say that I'll not be faithful to Him and I'll not serve Him and I'll not live for Him and I'll not give Him my best? I want to be faithful to give Him something back one day. There's five crowns that can potentially be won. Number one, if you want to go to chapter number 9 of 1 Corinthians, and I don't have these places marked if you want to go with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 25 says this, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperance in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but watch this, but we an incorruptible. So I would say this, there's the incorruptible crown. This can be won by, to put it real simple, if we want to put it this way, by running our race according to the rules that Christ has set before us. In other words, by being faithful to the things of God. Can I say something to you tonight? And again, it's Wednesday night. You ought to holler amen right here. Faithfulness goes so far. Just by being faithful. And when I say being faithful, I mean you're fully present. You say, well, preacher, if I'm sitting here, I'm fully present. No, I disagree with you. Based some people right now in your mind, you're playing golf. I hope you're not playing golf because you're probably cussing in your mind. But you're playing golf, or you're fishing, or you're shopping on Amazon, or you're thinking about this, or you're thinking about that. I'm talking, when I say faithful, I'm talking about you're fully present. I'm talking about when you came to church, you said, God, I need something from you tonight. And God, would you clear my mind for a little while? And God, would you help me to get something from you? There's an incorruptible crown. But then number two, there's a crown of life. Go into the book of Revelation tonight. Revelation chapter number two tonight. Book of Revelation chapter number two. And I'm going to read verse number one when I get there. Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 1. The Bible said this, Revelation chapter number 2, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write these things, and saith that holdeth the seven stars. Now, I wrote the wrong verse down right there. It's not verse, it's verse number 10. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days, but thou be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee, watch this, a crown of life. Now go with me to the book of James. If you'll flip back just a few books right after the book of Hebrews, you'll find the book of James. James said this in chapter number 1. James chapter number 1, verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. This crown of life is also known as a martyr's crown. It's what it's known by. In other words, it's those people who have remained faithful to death, or those people who were martyred for the cause of Christ, they will win this crown. Number three, there's the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and you said, preacher, why don't you just say these? Well, I want you to see it tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. The Bible said this, henceforth in verse number 8, he said in verse number 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but watch this, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The crown of righteousness is for those who love Christ appearing, or the coming of Christ. 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter number 5 tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 5. If you go to 1 John and flip back, you'll find 2 Peter and then 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 4 is the crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The crown of glory, I believe, is for the faithful pastor who has shepherded his sheep. Then last of all, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 tonight, verse number 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 19 says this. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. Without going into the great context right there, I believe the crown of rejoicing is dealing with what is known as the soul winner's crown. How do you win the crown of rejoicing? It is by being a soul winner. Can I say something to you? I don't believe that you have to win souls to get it, but you have to be a soul winner. You say, well, why don't you have to win souls? Only Christ can determine who will be saved. They have a free choice. As long as I give them the gospel, then I am a soul winner. I'm trying to see them get saved. And I believe that we will win the crown of rejoicing or the soul winner's crown. So there is what the reward will be. Now, I'll close with this tonight. What the judgment should motivate us to do. As we look at the judgment seat of Christ, as we look at who will be there, what will go on there, what will be tried there, the different crowns that can be won there, what should it motivate us to do? What should the judgment seat motivate us to do? Well, can I say this? I believe it ought to motivate us to be spiritual. To be spiritual. Listen to what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 back in our text. He said in verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hither ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Paul's teaching on the judgment seat in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, Paul's teaching on the judgment seat of Christ was given in the context of warning the church at Corinth about its carnality and challenging them to be godly. He's challenging them. He's saying, hey, listen, it's not time to be carnal. You know what the carnal man does? The carnal man says, give up. The carnal man says, don't go to church. The carnal man says, don't be faithful. The carnal man says, don't read your Bible. The carnal man says, don't pray. The carnal man is full of strife, envy, divisions. He says, you're carnal. And walk as men. And what Paul is saying is, in light of the second coming, and in light of the judgment seat of Christ, in light of that day that we're going to stand in His presence, it should motivate us to be spiritual tonight. To be spiritual. Not only that, I'll give you this. It should motivate us to be busy and to be faithful. To be busy and to be faithful. What did he say in verse number 9? Here's what he said. Miss Tanya, if you'll start playing softly. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, watch this, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. You know what he's saying to us tonight? He's saying this. You need to be busy building and you need to be faithful building. Can I say it again? You need to be busy building and you need to be faithful building. You need to be faithful. You need to be faithful. Let me tell you the greatest encouragement. Again, it's Wednesday night. You ought to be hollering amen. You're here. Let me tell you the greatest encouragement that you'll ever be to your pastor. Be faithful. That's the greatest encouragement. You say, well, preacher, we take care of you financially. You do, and I appreciate it. You say, preacher, you've got a nice vehicle to drive that we bought. You do, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it from the depths of my heart. But let me tell you what the greatest encouragement you are to me is when you're faithful. When you're just in your place, doing your job, taking care of what God's put you here to do. Just being faithful. Being faithful. Being faithful. You know what? There's some you don't have to worry about it. If they're not here, honey, something's wrong. Something is wrong. They're in their place. They're in their place. I can say, hey, will you do this? And you know what? I don't have to worry about it anymore. I don't have to worry about them forgetting it. We're all human, so don't nobody get upset right there. I don't have to worry about them forgetting it. Let me tell you why. Because it's the service of God, and they're going to be found faithful in it. They're going to be found faithful. Let me tell you what the judgment seat should do. It should motivate us to be busy, and it should motivate us to be faithful. There's never been a greater day to serve God than the day that we're living in. There's never been a better time to be in the service of God. I said this last night, that pulpit that I preached behind last night, a lot of the giants of the faith from the past 50 years have stood in that pulpit, hadn't they, Dad? And I said this last night, a lot of times we say, boy, if Spurgeon was here, boy, if Moody was here, boy, if Dr. Ray was here, Harold Seidler was here, or this one or that, they're not. They're not. And God knew before the foundations of the world was laid what today would be like. And you know who he chose to put in the most wicked? One of the most, I don't believe it's the most wicked. I believe it's one of the most, because in Sodom and Gomorrah, they couldn't even find one that was righteous. One of the most wicked days. One of the most wicked days. Probably the most wicked day since Calvary. Probably the most wicked day since Calvary's day. And you know who God, before the foundations of the world was ever laid, chose to live in this day and be a light in this day? Look around. Evidently, he had confidence in you. You hearing me? Evidently, he believed in you. Hey, he put us here for such a time as this. It's not a mistake that we are his examples, that we are his witnesses, that we are his servants in one of the wickedest days in humanity. And you know what? We're going to give an account to God for this generation of saints. We'll give an account for this generation of sinners. Are we going to be found faithful? We're standing before him. We need to get past this of, I don't want to let the preacher down. It's greater than letting the preacher down. Preachers need to get past this of, I don't want to let the church down. It's so much greater than letting you down. Are you hearing me tonight? It's about letting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords down. So many people today are so overwhelmed by, I just need a break. Some people need a break every weekend. I have a break every weekend to be able to live. Thank God my life ain't that miserable. I got to have this, and I've got to have that. And look, time out. Jesus is coming back. I'm telling you, honey, you read this book, he's coming back. And if you're sitting here saved by the grace of God, you're going to stand before him, and you're going to give an account to him one day. And that ought to motivate us. That's what motivates us. Let me tell you what motivated me to drive 3 hours last night, preach my gallbladder out in 100-degree weather. It wasn't the people that was sitting there. I don't mean that ugly. Let me tell you what it was. It was the God that called me. It was the God that called me. That's what motivated me to do that. Because one day, I wish you'd get a hold of what I'm preaching. One day, we're standing before him. We can give account of what we've done with our time, how we handled our time. He asked for a tenth of everything, only there's 24 hours in a day. He probably ought to get 2 hours and 40 minutes of it. Hello, Tokyo. What we've done with our time. Let me tell you something else. We're going to stand before him for what we do with our talents. What we do with our talents. Said, preacher, I'm going to get a crown for singing in the choir, for being faithful to the choir. If you didn't sing at 100% of your capacity, you don't get a crown for singing in the choir. Sometimes, Brother Matt, give me an amen. Sometimes I look up here and they don't usually nobody stand right in here. There's usually a void, so I stand right here. And it's this. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Well, honey, if that's what the winning side done to you, I don't want to be on the winning side you're on. Our talent, that we gave him everything. Amen. We gave him everything. We gave him. I fuss at my girls all the time. When you sing, open your mouth and sing. If you're going to play an instrument, you play it to the very best of your ability. You do it to the very best that you can do it. If you're going to teach a Sunday school class, you do it to the very best of your ability. Don't you wait till Friday night or Saturday night and try to plan something on Saturday. Somebody give me a witness right there. We're going to give an account to him. Our faithfulness to that, that talent that he's blessed us with. I've heard some of you teaching it's a talent that God's blessed you with. I believe that with all of my heart. And we're going to give an account to God for it one day. It's what motivates us. We're standing before him. I watched a lot of our men work on this building. A lot of them. There's two or three things that Brother Tim done, and I was like, for instance, underneath that monitor right there, I thought it was going to be an outlet to plug something in. Just a little outlet. And I come in here one day, and well, there's a hole that big cut. And I thought, well, why in the devil did he cut a hole that big? That's really what I mean. What was Brother Tim Miller thinking? Or was it Tim Ramey? One of them's cut. Why is that big old hole there? A couple of days went by, Brother Matt. Brother Tim came in with that big old black box that's underneath there. I said, Brother Tim, that's a big old box. He said, well, you know what, preacher? I said, well, he's a geek, okay? Everybody knows that, so don't act like I'm picking on him. He said, in this box right here. I said, well, tell me about that box right there. He said, there's an outlet, but then there's, I think there's two XLRs and two quarters in there, not like 50 cents worth, okay? It's stuff you can plug into. You can take an instrument and plug it straight into that box, and it comes through the sound system. You can take a mic and plug it straight in that box and it comes through the sound. I said, the mics are cordless. He said, but if we ever need it, it's right there. You know what he was doing? He's giving God his best. He's giving God his best. A lot of people don't know this, but behind that sheetrock is wood frame. He's working on it. I cut a board one day. I'm telling you, it wasn't over an eighth different. It wasn't. I look up in here. I handed it to Caleb back there. He was way up in the top because that's a firewall and it goes all the way down. He throwed it back down. He said, you need to recut another one. I said, how come? And it was like 3/16 too short. And I was like, Hoss, it's framing. The sheetrock's going to go over it. He said, no, you need to recut it. You know what he was doing? He's giving God his very best. See, sometimes when we say we give him our very best, we just think about quote-unquote spiritual things. It goes far beyond that. It's when we're working at his house, we're giving him everything. When we're teaching our Sunday school, we're giving him everything. Are you hearing me? When we're cleaning, we're giving him everything. Some people don't agree with this. They say that there's no difference in the power bill, and I disagree because I watched it. There is a difference. I turned the air up. after the service tonight. Usually, Brother Tim goes through, turns everything up over here and turns all the lights off. I turn it up on the other side. Matter of fact, in the old sanctuary, the air hadn't been on over there in about a month. You say, why? Because there's no need in the air running over there. We don't run it in the fellowship hall during the week because nobody's down there unless we're having a Awanas. Why do we need to run the air down there for 6 days and at 90 degrees outside and keep it cool in there when nobody's going to be down there? Hey, you know what? It might save $10 this month, but that's 10 more bucks we can give to a missionary. It's that we're giving him everything. That we're serving him with our whole heart. Why do you need to stay faithful? Because we're going to stand before Him. Why do we need to give Him our best? Because there's a great judgment day coming. And if we could ever get a hold of that, it would change our spiritual walk. If we could ever truly grasp the seriousness of standing in the presence of a holy God and giving an account for what we've done.